Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, there are a lot of fun and unique things that happen in Wisconsin, and our guest today has helped spread the word about many of them through her popular television program, public television program. Inga Wischer is back with us today. She's the host of Around the Farm Table. She owns and operates a small organic farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. And the show's new season starts, I believe, this week. And we get an early preview of some of the places that Inga has visited. So maybe you have an idea for Inga for a future show. Maybe you have a question about what's going on at her farm or just in farming in general. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Inga Wischer joining us from our Eau Claire studios. Inga, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, thank you so much. I always love to talk to you.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about rain for a minute. How has the rain affected your farm?
No, we've been okay. Thank goodness. I was just telling some friends, if I put the cows across the creek where I wanted to pasture them today, they might not be there when I got back. But they're up on the barnyard, and we're okay. But I'm just worried about all the vegetable growers and farmers down in the driftless part of the state, how they're just underwater, and it's terrible.
Yeah, it's part of what you learn to live with when you're a farmer, isn't it?
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. Well, last time you were with us, you mentioned that you were planning to start making cheese. How is that venture going?
It's going a little slower than I expected. You know, here's me. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to decide to do this. It'll be done by May. And so now we're just starting the building process. I hope if my plumbers are listening, I hope you're on your way to my farm right now to start plumbing it in. So hopefully we'll have the creamery done by early 2025 or something with the way we're going. But no, I hope to have it done by this fall and start making some cheese. We're just going to make a single cheese. It's going to be a farmhouse cheddar. So it's just going to be made from the milk from our 7 cows. And my dad and my husband are going to be my cheese makers. I'll do some relief cheese making for them, but it's going to be a nice little family micro dairy.
Yeah, a nano creamery, I've heard it called.
That's what my dad likes to call it. I think it's because it sounds cute.
So a nano creamery is a creamery where it's sort of like, you know, there's a guy who makes beer here in Madison, and he calls it one barrel brewing.
I love that.
So we've got one cheese brewing sort of with that,
yes, that's the same. Yeah, if you can picture your studio where you're sitting at right now, that's going to be the size of where I'm going to be making the cheese and also aging the cheese. So it's pretty tiny.
So what's the process of making cheese like in a situation like that?
Well, for us, the most important thing, for me being a dairy farmer, I grew up on a dairy where my parents did rotational grazing. And that was something that was taught to us from the very beginning, is good, healthy milk starts with the grass and what you're grazing. So for me, the most important thing as the herdsman is going to be making sure those cows are getting really great grass. That's their natural diet. That's what I want to be feeding them, a diversity of whatever is in the pastures, you know, beautiful clovers. And the milk is going to change a little bit with each month because there's going to be different things growing in the pastures from month to month. So my job is really to make sure those cows are comfortable, that they're well cared for, that they're eating a delicious diet. And then what I do is I bring those cows into my barn twice a day. Otherwise, they stay outside. They're outside in the fresh air for the whole year. And so twice a day, I'll bring them in and I milk them into buckets. So it's like maybe like... it's kind of old school, like in the 50s, yeah. People milked in buckets.
Yeah.
And then I'll take I milk in the bucket so that all the fat globules can stay in that milk so that the cheese turns out to be richer. And then I'll pour that milk into the vat and I'll let the guys take over. And they'll have like, you know, the Larry Mueller show going in the background. So it's nice and zen. And then actually I'll help out a lot with the cheese, but we fill the vat, heat it to a certain temperature, add rennet, cut the curds, separate the whey, and then we'll press that cheese into 20-pound truckles. And after that cheese is pressed, it's wrapped with a cheesecloth. And we'll use either butter or lard to adhere the cheesecloth. And then that cheese then is turned twice a day for 6 months to even out the moisture levels in the cheese and really creating that delicious farmstead cheese.
That sounds really great. And you actually store them in that same room, building?
We'll store them in a little refrigerator room in the same sort of in the same part of the building. Yeah.
But it'll be a kind of a separate room.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, now let's get back here to the milking. How many cows do you milk every day? Twice?
I don't want to tell people because now they're going to be like, you're complaining about milking, really? So I downsized from 40 to 7. And it's...
I'm sure my
brother's just like, oh, you're such a wimp. But it's a nice number. And the thing is, Larry, with my farm, I've got 30 acres. So when I was grazing those 40 cows, it was too many cows for the acres of land that I had. So, and I would beat myself up all the time saying, well, if only I had another 100 acres, I'd be fine. I'd be fine. And I was buying in all this expensive feed. And then after doing the show for a few years and meeting these people, these farmers that are so inspiring, and they're making a living on the acres that they have or figuring out how to make their farm work for them. So I said, wait a minute, I can do this. I'm going to downsize my cow herd, and that way I can graze for the whole grazing season, and I'm going to put a small creamery in because no one is going to stop and pick up milk from 7 cows. That's for sure.
Now, are you a Jersey girl or a Holstein girl? You're a Jersey girl.
Jersey girl. I never used to be, but then I was looking for cows, I don't remember, 10 years ago or something, and I walked into a field of Jerseys, and, you know, they come up to you, and they're just sniffing, they're curious, and they're batting their eyelashes, and they're just, like, so loving, and I said, ugh, I have to take all these home with me. They're just so cute. And they're all personalities. They're great.
And the milk fat in Jersey, I believe, is higher than it would be normal on average compared to, let's say, a Holstein.
It's the highest. So it actually will yield more pounds of cheese per pounds of milk.
And they're smaller.
And they're smaller, so they don't kick as hard. No, it's funny. This morning I had the cows, got them in the barn, and it's, you know, darker now that it's September, and so it's a little bit dark outside, and the barn lights were on, and I was standing in between two of the girls while I was milking them, and I was just kind of like, let them sort of push me back and forth. It was so nice, and my arms fit perfectly right on top of their backs, you know, the perfect height for just to take a little rest if you need to.
Well, you have strong wrists, I'll bet. I raised on a farm too, and so I had to do a little, you know, hand stripping of cows before we put them on the milking machine, which you don't do, but at least I had to. And once in a while, I'd have to milk out a cow, and I know it's good for the wrists if you don't do it too much.
My grandmother, she milked by hand, and I remember she had arthritis, and when we were kids, she loved to say, look at these hands, this is from milking cows, you know, and I was like, oh, right, grandma, sure, sure, and then the power went out one time. I think it was just like her, you know, like from the ether saying, now it's your turn, kiddo, and I had to milk out 20 cows by hand. It was terrible.
Oh.
I was like, poor me, yeah. This is why farmers had so many kids back in the old days.
Oh, my goodness. Inga Wischer, our guest today, she hosts Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television, owns and operates a small organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. She's going to be getting into the cheese business. She's already in the garlic business. We'll get to that in just a minute, but you can join in. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And heck, let's take a call. Janet and Frederick, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Janet.
Hi, this is Janet over at Morning Sun Farms. And I just wanted to say hi, Inga.
Hi, Janet. My mother-in-law said she ran into you the other day at the farmer's market. And
yep.
She said she loves your microgreens.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Yeah, we've been enjoying getting to know her at the market. She's come a few times now, and she's just a delight, as are you and your dad.
Oh, thank you.
So, Janet, your farm is featured in one of the upcoming shows?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Ooh. So, well, is somebody going to tell me a little about it?
So Janet and her husband, they are growing microgreens. And so microgreens are not sprouts. Janet, can you kind of explain what microgreens are?
It's the stage of growth between a sprout and a baby leaf. So they're little tiny plants that are just really packed with a lot of nutrition and flavor that you can add to salads, sandwiches, smoothies, juices. Whatever you're cooking, they're just great in anything. They're pretty, and they just add a lot of great flavor and nutrition.
And they're fun to cook with. They're delicious. My mother-in-law and I actually were just in Virginia. We went to a farmer's market there. We were cooking for a wedding, and there was a guy doing microgreens there, and he's like, let me tell you about this, ladies. I'm like, oh, we know all about it. We live in Wisconsin, and we know Janet. But we used them to garnish all these different little appetizers for the wedding, and they're so beautiful, and they hold up so well. But they're just, you can taste like how healthy they are. You know, you just feel good after them.
Yeah, at that stage of the plant life, there's an intenseness to the flavor, and it's not it's a crisp flavor that is not past its prime by any means at all.
Yep, they're very fresh, and you can just, like Inga said, you can just taste how healthy they are. They're just very robust flavor, and they just taste so fresh.
Well, Janet, thanks a lot for calling. Inga, when is this show going to air?
I think that's going to be either our first show, because it was a March show. So maybe it's going to be our first show, the first Thursday in October, I think. Don't quote me on that just quite yet. But it's a beautiful show that we visited Janet, and then we also picked up some lamb from a farm in Amory, and I made my nephew and my mom maple glazed lamb chops with a little microgreen salad on the side. It was really cute. And my 5-year-old nephew was just like, how do I eat this lamb? You're fine, buddy. He went right through it. He loved it.
Janet, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and have a great day.
You
thanks
as well.
For coming out, Inga. We just really enjoyed you and your crew.
Oh, Janet, thank you so much. And I hope to come up to the farmer's market soon.
Inga Wischer, our guest today, host of Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. Great to have her with us. Kate Archer Kent, by the way, is our engineer today. Jill Nadeau, our producer. And you, my friends, are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking today with Inga Wischer, host of Around the Farm Table at UC on Wisconsin Public Television. The new series, starts in October, coming right up. And she's got a number of shows, and we'll talk about some of those shows with her and a whole bunch of other things about what's in her life and what's going on. What's going on in your life? Question or comment for her? Give a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Let's take another call. Renee and Racine, it's your turn. Hi, Renee.
Good morning. Good morning, Inga and Larry.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. Inga, I know you have a garlic fest coming up in September, and I'm wondering, is this the last chance to come to the farm for the garlic fest?
Yes, or to come for like ever in the whole being of the farm, or just
until the end of the year, until next season?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Larry.
Well, just tell us, you know, what the heck, what do you do at a garlic fest? You sit around eating garlic and...
Well, it's going to be kind of small and humble, just like we are. And so we're just going to open up our farm for the day. We think it's important to invite folks onto a farm. Ours is a little bit different of an average farm. It's a little bit smaller, but we want to have folks be able to come onto the farm. Just spend, you know, a couple hours with the animals, talking with my family will be there to show us the cows, what the cows are eating, different things like that. We have plenty of garlic for sale. We're going to teach you guys how to grow it. I'm going to be doing some cooking demonstrations to teach you some of my favorite ways to eat it. And it's just kind of a nice day. I have a lot of people that ask me, hey, can we come out to the farm? So we decided to have one weekend every year where we invite people out for an open house so that I can make sure that my shirts are ironed and I have makeup on and my hair's combed. Otherwise, if people just want to stop by, it's kind of like, oh, hold on. I'm, you know, still covered from the barn. So that's going to be our one weekend this year is the 15th and 16th from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. We're going to have milking demonstrations at 4 o'clock every day. So if you want to bring out your family, it's fun for kids to see how cows are milked. And it's just, I think that a lot of, nowadays, we're kind of having that too many degrees of separation from the farm. So one of the main reasons we want to do this is to reconnect people to the farm.
And do you normally milk cows at 4?
No. Yes, 4 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the evening, every 12 hours. Sun up till sundown. No, usually milk around 6:30 and 6:30, but I'm going to switch it up.
You're going to switch it up for that
I'm going to get up early, yeah.
Well, Renee, are you going to attend?
Well, I'm hoping to. I'm pretty familiar with Highway 53 in Osseo. Would you be going to get there to your farm? Is that going toward Whitehall?
Yeah, you go toward Whitehall, 53 south toward Whitehall for about 4.5 miles, and then you'll turn right onto County Road E, and then follow E for about 1.5 miles, and I'll be on the left-hand side.
Okay, great.
Yep.
All right, hope to see you then. Thank you,
Renee.
Is there someplace, Dave Potratz, one of our engineers, might be saying, hey, I would like to go to that. Is there anything online that shows the directions?
I have it on my Facebook page. If you go to Around the Farm Table on Facebook, and then also on Instagram, Around the Farm Table, and then our website, aroundthefarmtable.com. And I'll have signs put up in Osseo. So if you can get yourself to the Norske Nook, just follow the sign. Grab a pie and then follow the signs out to my house. And if you want to bring a picnic out, I legally, just for like legal reasons and all the insurance stuff, I can't be serving food or anything like that. But we sure would love it if you guys would put down a picnic basket and just pretend like the farm's yours for the afternoon. My family is going to be there. My Aunt Kathy, who people probably remember from last year, she's coming up from Chicago, and she's a ball of joy. And she's going to be there helping people out. My mom's going to be there. My dad, my husband, maybe my brother is going to come down. So it's just a fun afternoon to kind of just spend with. And hey, if you guys want to bale hay or anything, we'll let you do that too. I'll let you stack hay all day.
And so that's give me the date again.
September 15th and 16th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
15th of September from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Does anybody ever come and stay the whole time?
No. I'm not that interesting, Larry.
Oh, yes, you are.
No, but it's kind of fun. It's like, and we've kind of been feeling it out. When I grew up in Washington State, there was a commune up the road from us, and they did a big garlic festival every year, and that was part of their income for their commune. And so we'd always go, and it was really fun. And I've always been interested in garlic from then. And I knew I had to diversify my farm to be able to make my farm payments. So growing garlic is one of those things I'm diversifying into.
How much garlic do you grow?
I think this year we'll get about 2,500 pounds.
2,500 pounds. And then you use some of it yourself.
Maybe
8 ounces or so.
I am a firm believer that you should have one bulb of garlic every day.
All right, so you're using a lot of garlic.
And then I'll save some to plant back into my field again. And right now I'm actually just getting ready to till in a buckwheat crop, a cover crop, so that I'm building my soils always so that I have healthy garlic crops for the following year.
You know, I spent some time in Trinidad and Tobago at the University of the West Indies, and some friends were telling me how to make a particular dish, and they said, you know, put four garlic in, you know, and so I took four little pieces off of one garlic, and they got there and they tasted it and they said, where's the garlic? And they want four bulbs they wanted in there. I said, whoa. But you know what? I chose that route, and it tasted pretty darn good.
I eat tons of garlic and tons of onions. Like, I'll oftentimes have like an onion sandwich for breakfast, which I know is going to make a lot of people gag, but I'm just in love with the allium family. And I don't have any problems with ticks, and I'm outside a lot. And I think it's just because they're like, oh, she smells terrible.
So, onion sandwiches for breakfast.
Yes.
And what, garlic for lunch and dinner then? Or?
Exactly. Garlic Bloody Marys for lunch. Just kidding. And dinner, it's whatever.
Oh, my goodness me. So, and now, are you going to be selling some garlic there?
I'm going to be selling garlic, yeah. So we're going to stick with our one variety that's done really well for us. It's a Chestnut Red, and it's just a nice hardneck variety of garlic, and it's a great keeper. So, you know, if you want to get enough to sustain you for a couple months, now's the time. And it's grown all organically. And the thing about fresh, I wish I could have come down to Madison today to have you taste it. Fresh garlic is, it's day and night. It's like tasting a tomato in today and tasting a tomato in January. It's the freshness of it. You use a little bit less of it just because it's so fresh and just delicious.
Oh, and you're making me hungry. You should have come down and brought some samples. Oh, my gosh. Inga Wischer, our guest. Do you have a question or comment for her, maybe an experience to share? I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org. Am I saying that right, Kate? It is ideas@WPR.org, isn't it? She's nodding her head yes, like I got it right. Okay, good. Well, this is the, before we go back to the phones here, this is the sixth season.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Oh, man, around the farm table. And I really, and you know, you have so much enthusiasm. It's so much fun to watch the show because you're interested and you're excited about everything that you're showing us. So it's really if for those who are listening to us now, if you haven't watched this show, I really hope you'll take a little time to watch that. And when do you know? You probably don't know when the first episode airs. No, this is on Wisconsin Public Television.
Yeah, and it'll be the first Thursday in October.
First Thursday in October.
And it's at 7 or 7:30?
Yeah, it's in the evening. It's at an early evening, so the kids can even stay up and watch it.
It's fun. I've been running into people and their kids, they'll say, oh, we like the show. They send me pictures of the kids cooking and things. And it's just like warms my heart. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. Just the little guys are like, oh, we like watching the animals. And I'll be walking somewhere and these kids will say, hey, Inga, what's going on? You know, I'm like, hey, it just makes me smile.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, tell us a little more about, so you've got a half a dozen shows for this season.
We've got eight shows. Yeah, so eight shows. And so we are doing the microgreens and the lamb, like I talked about. And then I'm just thinking about the behind-the-scenes funny stuff. We filmed with Gaylord Nelson's daughter, Tia. And Gaylord Nelson was a former senator, and he mm-hmm. was the founder of Earth Day.
Yep.
So we got to go up to Bayfield, and I made lunch for her and her friends. And I had this bottle of champagne that had been sitting out in the sun. And so when I went to open it, I thought, I was like, I'm so graceful. You know, I'm just going to like pop this open. And I'm like a little bit intimidated because she's like Tia Nelson. She's really amazing. Yeah. And her friends are amazing. I pop this bottle of champagne open. It goes over everyone. I mean, it was just over everybody. But they were so nice. They just loved it. They were laughing.
Did you keep that in the show?
I don't. It might end up on the editing room floor. I don't know. Just for, you know, like purely, you know, just so I don't get sued from having someone hit in the eye with a champagne cork. But that was so fun. And we picked up bison from a farm up in Rice Lake. And so we got to go and see. And luckily, I got to stay behind the gates. And my camera crew went to go get close to the bison. And I was just like, please come back to me, guys. You know, it's a little bit intimidating. They're just amazing creatures. But I talked to a woman there who's doing the bison. And just her knowledge of what is growing in her pastures and why they want to be having these bison on these pastures and sort of how they graze them from one paddock to the next so they can make that disturbance in that pasture and then move them out and then all those native flowers and native plants can grow back up again. And just to hear her was just amazing.
It sounds wonderful. You know what? Roz can't hang on very long, so we're going to go to Roz in Milwaukee and then we'll come back to more about the shows. But Roz, what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. It's great to talk with you. I'm a big fan of your show, and I love the guys talking about weather on that last Monday. And anyway, I have seen your guest on Wisconsin Public TV. I really appreciate that she opens up her farm, you know, to help us learn about the realities of farming. Just a quick question. What is your recipe for the onion sandwich? We love onions. What do you put on
it? My kind of people. I just cut red onions, two pieces of bread, some mayonnaise. That's it.
Oh, wonderful. All right.
We should hang out sometime, and then, you know, because no one else is going to want to hang out with us after these onion sandwiches.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, and have a wonderful open house.
Thanks, Roz. Very much. So red onions is what you use.
It's the key.
So you got red onions, and you've got, do you use any particular kind of bread?
I've been starting to do homemade bread. which I feel like a homesteader or something. So I do I think it's 2 cups of whole wheat flour, a cup of white flour, some yeast, and then mix that up, bake it the next day, and I slice it off. We had these two little Amish girls came to help us with harvesting our garlic this year, and they brought this loaf of homemade bread, and I just made my first homemade bread that I was practicing. And so we had two of the loaves in my house, and my husband kept eating the one that they brought, and I was like, you're not even going to try mine? He's like, well, I did try yours, but these girls have made it so much better. Thanks. So I have to get their recipe from them now.
Oh my goodness me. Well, yeah, it takes a little bit of practice and a little patience, I guess, to learn that whole process of baking breads.
Absolutely.
So you're not using an automatic bread baking machine?
No, I was just using my, my flabby arms and just kneading like crazy.
Oh, all right. Well, let's go back to the shows for a minute. And by the way, join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's go back to the shows again and talk a bit more about some of the... You visited an organic cranberry operation,
oh, we did.
Didn't you?
We did. Yeah, we filmed that last fall for our Friendsgiving episode. And so we went up to around that Warrens area, and we got to see these... Well, we got to take part. I got to separate the cranberries out with the farmers on their old piece of equipment that's, ancient, but it works perfectly. And so I got to sit there and sort the cranberries. And it was just so fun learning about the dry harvesting and the wet harvesting and how Wisconsin is the largest producer of cranberries.
And you said,
Friendsgiving. Friendsgiving, yeah. So instead of doing Thanksgiving, because my brother is milking cows too, so he can never come down for Thanksgiving. My mom's a nurse. She's always working. So we had a Friendsgiving with my neighbors that came over. And so I got to cook the turkey and do everything like that for them. And we had, I made a gin cocktail. So we all had a great time.
See, I understand that you're pretty good at when it comes to the cocktail making.
I'm a terrible cook, but I can make cocktails. It's a skill. But yeah, that's what how we use the cranberries. It was this time of the year too. Start doing this for the holidays. We just took a liter of gin and then just soaked a couple cups of cranberries and a little bit of sugar and just let it soak let it soak from here until Christmas, and it's delicious.
Oh, so it sits, does it sit out or does it sit in the fridge?
It sits out.
Just sits out for 3 months or whatever.
Yeah. But put it where you can't see it or else you might drink it because it looks so pretty. Because it's bright pink. It's just adorable.
And it's vodka, right?
Vodka or gin.
Vodka or gin. And they turn a pink color then? Is it the gin itself or the vodka?
Yeah. And then you just strain out the cranberries and then just use it for a little martini or throw in a little club soda. And it looks festive. It's just really cute.
So one of my favorite people to talk to is John Hildebrand.
Oh, I know. He's really great.
And you have a book club lunch with John?
Yeah, so we always do an annual book club lunch. So we've done it with Michael Perry. This year we did it with John Hildebrand. And we were talking about, I just finished reading his book, or I read it a few years ago. I'm rereading it, Mapping the Farm.
Yeah.
And he's just a lovely man. It was just, I always forget what we do on camera, but the experiences off camera is, we were just having this conversation and he was just telling me, I was asking about, how does he sit down and actually write, because it's just to have that discipline. And he was saying, you just have to find something that's willing, that is a good subject to write about. And he was just so inspiring. And we were standing in this field with all these meadow grasses behind us. It was just so picturesque. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I have the best job ever. Can I have your autograph, please? This is just so cool because he's this amazing writer. He's got a new book coming out soon. And just to hear just to be able to be around him and hang out, it was really fun.
I'll have to get a hold of him if he's got another book coming out and make sure that we get him on for that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's good. So that's part of the 8-part series. Season, I should say, not series, mm-hmm. but the season. But you've got another one, and I'm just going... Smorgastrada. Now, is for a Scandinavian midsummer fest. There's a lot of fests and so forth when it comes to yours.
We like to entertain.
So is this a smorgasbord? Obstratas?
I cannot say smorgasbord without having a big smile on my face. It just makes me happy. So what it is, and I've been doing a lot of cooking demonstrations around the state. So if anyone's been there, call in and be like, no, it really is funky and fun. So it's, you take a loaf of bread. It's basically a savory cake. So I took a loaf of bread. I cut it into cake layers. And then I filled it with a smoked trout mousse. And then I layered the next layer with cream cheese and cucumbers and radishes, and then I frosted the whole thing with cream cheese. Oh. And then you decorate it with like chive blossoms or edible flowers or cucumbers or radishes or whatever you want. And it's just a really fun artistic way.
Man, does that sound good.
Yeah, it's really cute, and it's fun. Just I think it's one of those things, you're going to bring it, like someone's like, oh, just bring something to the party, doesn't matter what, and you show up with this thing, people are going to just be like, do that again. Or next time they're like, you know, just bring a bottle of wine, that's fine. But it's just so funky looking. It looks like it's from the 70s or the 40s or something.
And when you do something, when the cooking or whatever on the show, people always have a chance to get the recipe.
I'm working on it.
Don't they?
Well, so I try to get everything on my website, but I think, I feel terrible if not everything's updated, but honestly, we don't have a team at all. It's like sometimes if my mom's off work, she can come help. Otherwise, I'm milking cows, working off the farm a little bit and doing odd jobs, doing the garlic, keeping everything going. And so to sit down and really kind of master these recipes and then take the pictures and get them online is just really hard. So if anybody is retired or have extra time on their hands and wants to help out, let me know.
but you got to promise that you'll put that smorgasbord up somewhere.
I'll put that one on.
Put that one on because I want to go and get that for myself.
In November, I think the first Saturday in November, I'm going to be down at Metcalf Market, and I'm going to be doing some demos of that there. So
these demos, and you travel a lot.
Yeah.
You did almost 100 libraries around Wisconsin?
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you do that?
Well, we have great podcasts to get us from one to the next. No, it's really fun. We love going to reach out to different communities, whether it's 50 people at a library or 80 people or 10 people. It's so fun. My dad and I just hop in the car. We love true crime podcasts, so we plug one of those in, and then we just go and arrive, and we get to meet the most amazing people. I mean, really, I've said this a million times. I've grew up on the West Coast, lived on the East Coast. I've never met people as kind as in Wisconsin. People will bring me vintage aprons or just walk up and just give me a hug and just give me ideas for a show or just be there and just smile. And it's just makes me feel like I'm a part of everyone's extended family. I'm just going to start crying thinking about it. It's just the most incredible experience doing the show and being able to meet the people that watch the show.
Oh, it's got to be wonderful. And that's got to be one of your highlight every... Well, if you did 100, I mean, that's, how many is that? You know, there's only 300. I mean, is this?
It's like a blur. Maybe it's probably, my dad was writing the notes. It might be a little bit less than 100.
Nearly 100.
Nearly 100, yeah. Yeah, we started, I think, last October. And I think we've been booked pretty much every Saturday and Sunday, except for a few. I think this Saturday I'm off, which is great, because I have to get ready for my Garlic Fest, and then the Garlic Fest we have off, and we've just been on the road.
Who milks the cows when you're gone?
Usually I can get home by the time I have to milk cows again. Otherwise, my husband, on our first date, I taught him how to milk cows, and it was a good thing that I did.
Oh, my gosh. I want to go back to one more, because you do have a show about growing corn that is the color blue.
Yeah, so we were just down in Janesville, and there's a farm down there. It's a, I'm sorry, the name's escaping me right now because I've just got too much on my mind, but they grow blue corn for their own corn chips. And so they have their corn chips, they sell just around the Janesville area and places in Chicago because they want to keep their food miles close to home. So they get their sunflower, they're certified organic, they get their sunflower oil from Wisconsin, the corn's coming from their farm, and the ingredients are sea salt, which they can't get from Wisconsin, but sunflower oil and blue corn. And the flavor is delicious, and the color is delicious, and the farmer is wonderful. Randy was just so nice, took the day, showed us around, and he was helped kind of found the organic movement in Wisconsin. And so it was nice to see, he was saying how back in the 90s, they had to educate people on what organic was. And I thought, gosh, thank you so much for all you guys have done, because now people, everybody knows what organic is.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And again, let's go back to your season starts coming up.
Coming up in October, the first Thursday of October. And I believe it's at 7 or 7:30. I think we follow Wisconsin Life. So you guys get a little block, a little hour of Wisconsin, which is great. And we've got 8 episodes coming out. We're visiting with my volunteer firefighters in my little township of Hale, which are great. They're all dairy farmers. So when they get a call to go help somebody, somebody's got to stay home, melt the cows. The rest of them all go help people put out fires or anything else that they do. And it's just nice to be able to celebrate these sort of heroes in our little communities that kind of go unnoticed a lot of times.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. And I also want to bring back the garlic festival, because it's the one chance that folks have to come visit the farm and just spend a fun day.
Yeah, so come on out. It's September 15th and 16th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'll be doing some cooking demonstrations at, I think, 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., not a.m. And then I'll do a milking demonstration at 4. We'll teach you how to grow some garlic if you'd like to. Bring your family out. Pet the calves. Bring a picnic. Sit at the lawn. Have a picnic and just enjoy being at the farm for the day.
And one very important question that someone really wanted to make sure that I asked is, how do you make a garlic Bloody Mary?
I'm going to be doing this on the local news later on today. So it's tomato juice, and I use a microplaner like you do, like if you were going to zest lemons or limes. Yeah. And then so I microplane garlic into my tomato mixture. And then, I love garlic and everything. And then a little bit of horseradish right here from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And then a little Worcestershire sauce, salt and pepper, and vodka, gin, or tequila.
And there you have it. I'm really glad to get that in, because otherwise I'd have been in trouble. Inga, you know what? It's always so much fun talking to you. I thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Larry.
Keep those wrists going, because you got lots of cows to milk yet today.
Well, and always feel free to come up and join me whenever you'd like.
All right. Thanks, Inga. Inga Wisher hosts Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. She owns and operates a small organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. She has all these fun things that she does with the Garlic Festival. But the shows are an absolute joy to watch. I challenge you to watch one of her shows and not come away with a big smile on your face and say, oh, I love that woman, because she's so much fun and she's so nice. Inga Wisher. And you know what? We'll have her back and we will talk with her again. But you know what else is coming up? It's the Quilt Expo. It opens on Thursday, as a matter of fact, and we'll be talking next about what to expect this year and talk about the legacy of one of its founders, Nancy Zeman. That's next here on the Ideas Network.